Hello ladies, Auburn here. Today we are going to be looking at how to build a brand for your blog or business. The areas we'll be covering would be business mindset, your audience, get into a little bit of personas, the actual customer experience, design, marketing plan, and then finally we're going to close off with the customer journey. Alright, so let's jump right into it. So in terms of business mindset, which is the first area we're looking at, is it's just the mindset of the business. Obviously you have your particular mindset of, you know, a long-term strategy of how are you going to work, but this one is a mindset from the I prefer to call it a business mindset, from the business point of view. So why, what do you do as a business? Why you do what you do? What value are you bringing to your customers? And what are you going to improve for them and for their lives? The lifetime impact you're going to have on them as a customer. What is the character of your business? So probably thinking that's a little bit weird because a business don't have a character, but actually a character would include something like culture. So, you know, what is that work ethic that you want to build around your business? So when your customers interact with the business, or your readers interact with your blog, how would they describe you in one word? Are you fun? Are you professional, formal? You know, what is the character for the business? And then another thing to look at then would be your customer, your narrative statement. So who you are as a business, and how you can communicate with your customers. So a narrative statement is, again, instead of saying the character of your business in one word, you're saying who you are and what you do in probably a tweet, 140, 100 characters. So I'll give you a few examples of a few of them that I picked out for this particular episode. One of them, the examples I'm going to give you is existing brands on the market and, you know, what it is their one-liner says about them. So I'll work my way from the top. I have Apple. So I just, you know, I've done this live. I went and looked on the Apple website and they're featuring their iPhone 10, which, as you know, launched only recently. And it says here, say hello to the future. You know, what does that say to you when you go to the website and it says, say hello to the future? The likes of Burberry, I went on there and they, instead of having a sort of a one-liner phrase when you go to the homepage, they just have a sort of an iconic photo of the people who they represent, or who the typical customer would look like with their clothes on. So it's a headshot of a model, and she has really cropped blonde hair with, I don't know how to explain it, but a trendy, you know, outlook. But it just, that's one photo says a lot about Burberry, who they represent, and what it is experience they want the customer to have from visiting their website on first impression. Next up, I have Harley Davidson. Now, they've got several different phrases, but on the one that I went and had a look at, a specific phrase, it says, this will leave a mark. Then I went to Izumiyaki. Just in case you don't know what that is, it's a brand of perfume, both men and ladies. And in this particular one, they were featuring the latest, I guess, perfume or cologne for men. And the catchphrase on there is "designed by water." And then finally up, we have here Michael Kors. So again, just in case you don't know who Michael Kors is, it's a really, really popular brand for handbags for ladies, among other things. And the catchphrase, as soon as you enter the site on the landing page, it says, "What she love." Or in a sort of a long way of saying it is, "What she will love." All right, so that just gives you a feel as to what I mean by a narrative statement. Obviously, it needs to say more about what you do as a business, plus what you want your customers to achieve from your business or your blog. Next up, we have the audience. So, like I mentioned before, for the Burberry one, they had a sort of an image of the person or the people who they cater for. So audience is what do your customers need? And you may or may not know this. If you go out to buy, say, a pair of trousers, when you're shopping, consciously or subconsciously, you look for a functional need as well as an emotional need. And I'll give you a typical example of that. There's a popular phrase that people say, something like, "You wouldn't see me dead in that." Meaning that consciously or subconsciously, maybe, when they're buying software, stuff that will identify them for who they are, they're always very conscious about what other people would think, or if their friends would, you know, like it or not. And I have a list of 6 different reasons why people buy things or invest in things, or 5 different needs. First up, we have comfort. So they buy because of comfort. So people buy comfortable shoes as opposed to uncomfortable shoes, or shoes that they can walk in for at least an hour or whatever it is. So people who buy comfort normally are people who don't like necessarily like change. But then on the other hand, those people who don't like change or like to risk anything, they also like variety, as in they don't like to buy everything in the same color. Like all of people who like a certain jacket wouldn't like it in red or in black. They probably prefer it in whatever their favorite color is. Next up, we have then significance. So how does that product or service that they buy make them feel, or what does it do for them as a person? Then we have connection and love. So does it make them feel connected to a certain group, or identify them as being, you know, belonging to a certain age group? They'd like to feel connected and loved. Then we have growth. So will that product or service that they're going to be investing in provide, you know, future prospects for them in terms of growth? And then finally, we have contribution. So some people buy or invest in things because they want to give back to society, or they want to improve the lives of other people, whether it be their immediate family, extended family, you know, young people, people in certain conflict areas. They want to be able to give back. So just be aware of those when you are building your brand, right? I will also include at least one sheet where you can, you know, practice doing that and coming up with your narrative statement. All right, then we have who are they, in terms of when you market to your customers, who are they of course, people would have shared needs, and then they would have shared needs in terms of what basketballers would need, shoes, clothes, and everything. But depending on the type of basketballer you are, you may have individual needs, specific height ups, or if you're tall compared to someone who's shorter, you might have a requirement for a certain length t-shirt. You know, what are those particular person's individual needs? And that brings me nicely into persona. As the name suggests, this is not just covering demographics, but also covering a specific type of person. So I was giving the example of a basketballer, for example. Some people like to play basketball in court, some people like to play basketball outside. Another good example of that are people who travel. It's probably very popular around here. So say, for example, a lot of college students like to go backpacking around the world or in Asia. So their travel needs would be different from a couple who have kids. They want to go on a family vacation. So if you're offering something like a travel blog, you would want to really narrow in as to who you are offering this service to. Is it this single female traveler, or is it for couples or backpackers or whatever? But the point here is you really need to really focus in and zero in, because once you understand the needs of that particular type of person, you would be able to build your brand using that. So if we look here, we have then, you know, what are they looking for? You know, they obviously have, like I mentioned in the last topic, the six needs of, are they looking for variety, or are they looking for comfort, or, you know, what exactly are they looking for? So the best way to approach this is to put up a picture of your prospective traveler, whether it be a college student or single female or couple or family or older couple. Put up that picture, and then you can sort of start building a story around that. So what is their motivation? What is their motivation for travel? What motivates them in life, generally speaking? So it could be that they are interested in maintaining a healthy environment, or they're interested in whatever they do, not discriminating, treating everybody equal. Or they are probably interested in helping those who are less fortunate than them. So whatever this is, it's a driver behind what they do, or what motivates them, is where you can actually build out their persona. So if you have a picture, for example, of an older couple who is interested in preserving the environment, then their travel needs would be to make sure when they go travel, they have a place that is environmentally friendly, and that supplies maybe organic food, or as naturally built accommodation as possible. But you get the picture that I'm talking about here. You need to know what's driving your prospective buyers or readers. You then have your the pain points. So it could be that the reason why they go hiking is because they're trying to keep fit, or they're trying to stay active. So, you know, you work that sort of language into your blogs and into your what we call narrative statement. Another thing that you want to do is look at their set of personal information. So their jobs, or maybe if they're retired, they're probably into golfing. You know, really, really drill down at a granular level what it is they are looking to do in their lives. What's their background? Say, for example, they worked in the corporate world and now they're escaping from that and want to become digital nomads, for example. So once you understand their personal information, you can build a better picture of them. So that's persona. Next up, we have experience. So experience here is not necessarily the experience of the travel, like how much years experience they have traveling, but more or less what do you want that reader, that buyer, that customer to experience when they interact with your brand. So from the time they see you for the first time, so for example, it's on a blog or a business, let's just say a blog for example, and they go to your blog and they read, the combination of the way the information is presented, maybe the color of it or the language, should give them a certain, should make them feel a certain way. It's all about that experience they have interacting with your brand. So there's that experience, and then, you know, what is the customer benefit? So based on the experience, you know, you might be saying, here's the information, and the end of that combined with a call to action, how did it make them feel? What did they leave more inspired, more richer? I don't know, I'm trying to find a nice word that will actually get that thought out of my head. Enriched. Do they feel more enriched from reading your blog or interacting with your business, whether it be on the phone, or maybe they picked up a brochure? You know, sometimes you see a brochure and the presentation isn't that great, but some brochures are really, really, and do they get a sense of luxury? You know, what experience do you want them to get at the end of the day? So what is the emotional satisfaction you want them to gain? Basically what value you want them to glean from your interacting with your business or blog. So up next we have design, and a part of that obviously is the one I talked about before, the experience. So in order to get a good experience, you need to have obviously firstly a consistent brand, which includes obviously the design of everything from the brochures to the blogs to the videos to any kind of content that they interact with. And one of the really great ways to build or design that is coming up with consistent things like color palettes, for example, consistent fonts and font sizes, consistent tone. So when you speak to people on your blog or podcast or business, is it, you know, some people like the approach of, you know, being bossy or calling their customers names or being formal or being conversational or being fun and exciting. So it really depends on you, and you have to keep that consistently all the time. Obviously, for the first few months, you might be testing and seeing, you know, what is that tone you want to portray in all of your messaging. So by all means, test that out. But then once you've come to the one way of messaging to your clients or your customers or readers, just be consistent with that 24/7. Choose your fonts, get your color palettes. I'll make sure to include some places to find some really great color palettes and fonts, and then develop that tone. So it's all of that culture. So for the likes of Zappos, for example, they've got this customer centric culture, and if that's what you want to go for, you might not take read Tony Hsieh's book and see what he did to develop that culture. But yeah, you sort of get what I'm saying here. And then next up we have then your marketing plan. So once you've decided, you know exactly what your business mindset is, you know what you want to approach your customers, You know how you want to make them feel, what experience you want them to have. You know exactly who they are, what their background is, how they arrived at who they are today and where they'll be going, what their needs are they're trying to fulfill. And you've combined that with the design. You then want to know, okay, so where do these people hang out? And develop a marketing plan around that. And you can decide in your marketing plan how you want to attract these customers, what methods you want to use. For example, you can use social media or paid ads, email marketing, blogging, podcasts, or videos. And once you decide, like, you don't have to choose one over the other, but you can start with one. Master one at one way of doing it first, and then move on to the next one. But make sure that the ones that you choose are the ones that would fit the personas or the demographics of your customers. So say, for example, I'll give you one very typical example. Instagram, many of the users of Instagram tend to be 18 to 24 year old, sometimes at a stretch up to 34 years old. And if it is, whatever your marketing is for people who are older than that, like for older couples, you wouldn't want to take your marketing plan onto somewhere like Instagram. You'd probably go to somewhere like Facebook instead, or YouTube, you know, depending on, you know, what, you know, what their personas fit into. But then you might actually use different platforms for different people. So if it is, for example, you have an 18 to 24 year old service, and you also have an older age range, say a 55 to 65 year old persona age range, because they go on a different package or service or place, then you want to market to those people where they are. So you might actually have to have on the outset start with one of the set of personas, and then move on to the next one on a different platform. And then finally, we have the customer journey. So one of the key ways of finding out what their customers are searching for, or where they are at any point in time, before they get to find out about you, customers go through a journey when they search, for example, in the search engine like Google, where they want to go somewhere, for example. That's a good example of a travel. So say, for example, they said, oh, next year we should go to Paris. And in order to get there, they want to know more about what it's like being in Paris. And they'll do all of their research. And then once they've done all the research, they actually purchase the solution, the product. It could be a travel product, for example, or weekend away, or whatever it is. And then they experience it. And once they've experienced it, then they want to buy it. Actually, I probably have that the wrong way around. So they want to go certain places, do a bit of research. They want to be able to get involved in it, like see pictures of, you know, other people's experience, etc. And then they will invest in that once they've narrowed down their choices. And once you know that sort of customer journey, you'll make sure you have collateral, or maybe collateral, whether it be, well, collateral is probably too much of a leaflet flyer kind of term, but content at every step of the journey. So you want to make sure you have content for when people decide, okay, we should go to Paris in 12 months time, and they want to start saving for that, and you educate them at that step. And then when they come back and they want to do some more research, you give them the information they needed then. And then when they're ready to find out even more from other people's experiences, you provide content for that. And then when they're at the final stage, when they're actually going to be buying the product or service, you provide the necessary content around that. So once you understand the customer journey, you'll be able to provide all of the necessary content marketing elements that will actually meet their needs. Right. So building a brand for your blog, why would you decide to do it? Well, simply because Once you have a consistent brand, whenever people interact with you once or twice or three times, they get to recognize a brand and get to, from the experience that they've had, they know very well, once your brand is consistent, that it will get the same level or higher experience every time that they interact with their brand. That means that they can trust you, trust your company, and then they become loyal, because and that's really, really important for a business when you come to evaluate the lifetime value of a particular customer. And then you'd have what we call the attachment rate, where they may buy one product and then they will buy two or three different products because they trust and know your brand. They like the experience that matches their particular needs because you've taken the time to do the necessary research to provide them with the value add to help them transform or feel enriched even after they interact with your brand every single time. All right, hopefully that wasn't too boring. But yeah, and hopefully it was helpful. And hopefully over time you'd gain more and more from my particular brand here on Success Unscrambled. So if you like that and you want to share with your sort of friends or colleagues, don't forget to share it on social media. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll be able to, whenever the new episode comes out, the next time you'll be able to know when that is available. Okay, ladies, that's all for now. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode of Success Unscrambled with building a brand for your blog. So enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of the week. Bye for now.